This is Barry, ScreenGeeks.com, and to my right is Dave. We're speaking with Adam Baldwin. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
First and foremost, I want to ask you about the charity that you work with, and if you could tell us about that, please.
Yeah, we're raising money for the Marine Corps Law Enforcement Foundation, which is a beautiful organization that gives money for scholarships for the children of fallen soldiers and law enforcement. So we raised nearly 50 grand or more in the last couple of years through auctioning off some scripts that I had from Firefly mm-hmm. and Serenity. That I had signed by everybody. Those went up on eBay, and now we have some shirts that are up there too, some Jane shirts. And then we're going to do that knit hat that I have, the Jane hat that you might see floating around in some of the conventions.
The cunning hat.
The cunning hat, a very cunning hat. And so we're going to put that up soon. So you go to Southern California Browncoats. They have the site. They're running the auction through eBay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Jeff, is an avid golfer. He promised me I'd ask you this. What's your handicap and the best course you ever played on?
Well, I did get down to about a 2 or a 1 handicap a few years ago, probably 6 or 7 now. You know, I could still break 80 on a good day.
Cool.
Yeah. And my, the greatest course I ever played? Wow, there's been a lot. Well, I played the old course at St. Andrews, so
cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet. It's been 20 years since Full Metal Jacket. Any memories of working with Stanley Kubrick that immediately jump to mind?
I remember when we first arrived in London that we didn't get to meet him for the first 2 weeks. We were just settling in, and we were given reading materials and background information, the book Short Timers by Gustav Hosford, who helped him punch up the screenplay, him and Michael Hare. Actually, Michael Hare was the guy. He did Dispatches. He wrote a book called Dispatches. So we had Dispatches and Short Timers, and then we got the script. And we didn't meet him for 2 weeks. And then when we finally did meet him, we were walking around the set, and you know, he gave us about 20 minutes of his time each. He was very busy organizing it. And then he did a lot of work from the truck of his Lumicrane. So we had this running joke, because he would talk to us over a loudspeaker. We had this running joke that we would come back to the States and say we never met him. And all he was this disembodied voice from a van loudspeaker yelling at us. But he was a really cool guy. He would kick my ass at chess and then laugh at me. I finally did beat him one time, but he was distracted at the, you know, he was a very good chess player, and I was just okay. And so he says to me, you know, the only reason you won is because I was distracted by your poor play and I blundered. I was like, oh great, thanks Stanley.
I want to ask you about Radio Flyer. Your performance in that movie is one that stayed with me. It's a frightening character, the King. We only see your face at one point in the film. Did that affect your approach to the role, knowing that you'd only be seen from the neck up just once?
That was actually one of the appeals of the role, because he was such a despicable character. I thought, well, okay, I can play this guy, and you're not going to see me too much. So that's pretty cool, I thought. Yeah, I don't want to be too well associated with such a villainous character.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that movie missed the mark in its marketing campaign. I think it was marketed as kind of this fantasy E.T. kind of kids adventure, and it's not that movie. It's kind of it's dark.
Dairy Queen had a tie-in with that movie, actually.
Oh,
yeah, we get a little Radio Flyer wagon with ice cream in it. But
right.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Right.
Yeah.
So and then there was, you know, that just brings to mind the marketing campaign for Firefly. You know, it's a space captain and a space western with a hooker, the heart of gold, and a girl in a box. Might as well be walking on the sun. It's like, oh man, that's not our show. Come on.
So can I ask you a quick question about Chuck?
Yeah.
It's interesting, between that and Firefly, you kind of play two different sides of the hard-ass coin.
Right.
He seems like he's almost starting to almost like Chuck a little bit. Is that kind of where you see it heading, or do you think he's going to be able to stay detached and do the job when it's necessary?
Well,
Or is this something that you shouldn't be talking about?
The show's called Chuck, so, you know, he can't run too far afoul of Chuck. But we do need villains. You got to have some villains. I'm not sure where they're going to go with Casey right now. It really depends on how much how deeply Chuck gets into the crime solving and whatnot. I'm just happy to play my part and support that guy because he's great. Zach Levi is just my hero.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Came out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but seemingly.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, you know what they say about luck.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. What do they say about luck?
No freaking clue.
No. It's all...
I said yeah, BS it.
It's all about preparation. Anyway, he was right. See you later.
Oh.
Thanks.
Thanks.
That was fun.